Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest episode of the Cuartelinas podcast. I'm your host, Zach Lowy, here today with a very special guest in Luis Mateus, the general coordinator of Abola, one of the biggest newspapers in Portugal. Really excited to have him on. How are you doing today, Luis?
I'm fine, and you?
Very well. I'm doing very well. We've got a lot to discuss, namely both in European football and Portuguese football. Obviously, we still got Braga yet to play on Thursday, but been a very, shall we say, a hot and cold week for Portuguese football in Europe. Porto losing big time to Liverpool, Sporting losing by one goal to Borussia Dortmund, and Benfica coming off a 3-0 victory over Barcelona at the Estádio da Luz. So first off, let's just talk about nobody, even Porto fans or Sporting fans, would disagree that Benfica are the best team in Portugal right now. Currently perfect in the league, have not drawn or lost a single game, and coming off a 3-0 win over Barcelona. Let's just talk a little bit about this Benfica team. How has Jorge Jesus managed to turn things around so quickly after such a disappointing return to Portugal last season?
Yeah, well, it was not that quickly. It was one season, so not that quickly. I think the first great idea from last season to the current one was that the three at the back is now a very solid defensive line. The Brazilian Lucas Veríssimo was a great addition to the line. He's a very nice guy to construct the game from behind from the goalkeeper. The Otamendi in the middle position gives a little bit of strength and cohesive strength, and of course Vertonghen is also a very good passer from the to the left. So you have three nice guys without the ball. So this now is, I think, the best defensive line. And Porto has lost also Pepe, so it's a little bit unstable too. Right now, the three at the back is a very good idea for Benfica. They are avoiding letting the opponents have a lot of chances to score. Also of the double pivot, which has also a very good addition in the name of João Mário. A very, how do you say, it's a very good guy to manage the tempos, the game tempos. He can put the game on ice, as you say, here in Portugal. Benfica had a lot of problems in the last season because the two guys, Tarapt and also Gabriel, were two midfielders that tried a lot, very risky passes. So the team was always breaking from attack to defense and the defense to attack, and the team was not solid. So with João Mário, the team knows when to take risks, when to not take risks, when the ball should go to the right or to the left or through the middle. And I think that the last two, three games showed also that it was a good idea to pull Rafa a little bit behind the two attackers. He's very strong in taking the ball out of the defenders and getting quickly to the decision. So I think a good idea. You also get Darwin a lot of strength and aggressive search for the ball in the left, so he can move from the left to the center and use his right foot. And Yaremchuk is also a very nice, probably the best ace in right now. I think there is Taremi, and Taremi is a very good, intelligent player. But I think right now, I think Yaremchuk has the potential to be the best nine in Portugal in a few months. I think he's growing. I think he's getting very strong in the passing, in the linking with the midfield. He's getting some strength also in the attack of the spaces behind the defensive line of the opponent. Well, the first 11 is now a first 11 much more of transitions than in the last year, strong in the last third. So I think that the main Jorge Jesus started with an idea of a positional attack with a very slow, not slow, but a very post-construction idea, and Everton going from the left to the middle, Pizzi going running from the right to the middle, and he didn't have not the right back. Not the right back was not a very forward right back. He needed to change a little bit of his ideas, and now I think the theme is more balanced. I don't know if he's the strongest team in Portugal. I think it's a little bit too early, but I think that it's in the right path to be a very strong competitor to the Portuguese title. And of course, there's Champions League, and this win will also get some more oxygen in the team to at least try to get to the last 16.
Absolutely fantastic start to the season for Benfica. And as you mentioned, you know, the real midfield metronome alongside Julian Weigl in the double pivot is João Mário, who of course played a fundamental role in Sporting's title win last season. And as I think that as important as he has been for Benfica, I think we're also seeing just how much his absence or his departure has impacted Sporting. You know, Mateus Nunes has stepped in to that position in midfield and done fairly well. But watching Sporting over the past few months, you know, past few weeks, shall I say, I have noticed some of his limitations as a player. You know, he has obviously plenty of strengths, but too often, you know, playing it horizontally, just giving it to Pedro Porro to make a cross. And overall, I think that he isn't quite at the same level as João Mário as a player. I don't think he offers as much in possession. I think that one thing that I noticed in today's game against Barcelona is João Mário constantly providing himself as a passing option, allowing possession to throw through the midfield. I think that's something that we've seen a lot less of with Paulinho playing alongside Mateus Nunes now. But, you know, one player who I think is capable of filling in that role, perhaps not to a better degree than Mateus Nunes, but who has more, shall we say, who's more press resistant and who is more capable of breaking the lines and circulating possession in midfield is Daniel Bragança. And it seems like, you know, looking at the past few games, Bragança has come on off the bench pretty late. I don't think he came off the bench at all against Porto, if I'm not mistaken. But I am a bit concerned and confused why Bragança has not gotten more minutes with the departure of João Mário. Talk to me a little bit about how Sporting have changed as a team with João Mário gone. I mean, obviously Nuno Mendes' departure is going to hurt them, but focusing on João Mário, how do you think Sporting have shifted? And if you were Ruben Amorim, would you be giving Daniel Bragança more minutes in midfield?
Well, about João Mário's departure and the inclusion of Mateus Nunes as a starting player, I think that they are very different players. I think João Mário is more a linking player, as you said, and you said very well. He's always offering some passing lines. He's always trying to link in the play. I think Mateus Nunes is, and we saw something about that in against Dortmund. He was the man who tried to take the ball from the midfield to the attacks, more as a transporter than linking. I think he's one of the biggest names in the future for Sporting. I was asked last year when in the TV of Ebola, and which player should not lost in this. My answer was Daniel Bragança, and he didn't play that much. I have a lot of faith in him. So, but I think he is more important for Ruben Amorim when the team faces low blocks than when the team wants to have his A plan, that is to keep the three in the front in the high positions, even when defending and taking the ball there. And Mateus Nunes takes the ball very fast to that position and then distributes. And João Mário did that the same last year. But I think even though Mateus Nunes takes the ball to that position very nicely. So I think that's the main idea of the discussion between Matheus Nunes or the coach. I think he prefers to have more a transporter, more a fast player, more a guy that can gets there in the second line of the attack than a passing player, because I think he's Sporting has still a very a counter-attack mentality. And Daniel Bragança is more a player for attack, positional attack. And I think that's the main reason of the preferences of the coach. I think Daniel Bragança, I think Portugal is also changing in the mentality of the most of the coaches. Most of coaches right now are more attacking than in the past. So when you have Vitória de Guimarães is a very attacking team. Even the teams which get into the first league that this season have attacking mentality. Even Arouca, which is in the low positions. Famalicão is in the last position. So they are very attacking mentality teams. Very attacking mentality coaches who like to play eye in the eye, as we say here. So I think that's the main idea why Ruben Amorim keeps his team like a counter-attack team. I think he was trying, I think he knows that at some point, I don't know if it will be this season, I think Sporting is growing faster than the plan. I think the Sporting plan was to construct a team for the next 3, 4, 5 years, not to be champion in the first season, and you see that this season, even when we're getting into the Champions League, the team that didn't get that much reinforcement. So that's a plan that to keep the costs low and to grow slowly. And they are being victims mainly in the Europe about this very fast growth which was not expected. So I think the coach has an idea that at some point they will need to change a little bit. That's why Paulinho has come from Braga to Sporting. Sarabia, you always get Sarabia because it's a very good player. So it's not about a philosophy, a theory. But I think it is an idea to that more attacking play, more positional play than others like Jovan or Nuno Santos. So I think the idea is to getting there, but I think the plan is still being a very counter-attack team.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, Sporting have been trying to keep the costs low, and I think that's part of the reason why they didn't give João Mário a big enough salary offer and went with a younger, cheaper player in Matheus Nunes. Still a lot of time left in the season, still plenty of time for them to get their groove on and challenge Benfica. We'll see what happens. But moving on to the third of the Três Grandes, Porto, grinding out a 2-1 victory over Gil Vicente via a late free kick from Sergio Oliveira, going to face off against Liverpool at the Estádio do Dragão and losing 5-1, or at least one of the most embarrassing results of Sergio Conceição's time in charge. We saw Conceição after a few games of playing with a 4-2-3-1 with Vitinha and Fabio Vieira, shifting back to a 4-4-2, his traditional system. Jesus Corona and Zaidu Sanusi, both surprising choices in the fullback areas. Sergio Oliveira partnering Matheus Uribe in midfield. What are your thoughts on this Porto team so far this season? Because, I had a long thread yesterday just criticizing some of their decisions, allowing Diogo Leite to leave on loan, not selling Tecatito Corona. I think that what we've seen from Tecatito is a very disinterested player who has his mind elsewhere. Overall, there have been some promising highlights, such as Diogo Costa's form. But overall, this Porto team looks very much like it's in transition, which is worrying for a team that just renewed Sergio Conceição's contract as manager. We're seeing a team that, in my opinion, looks like it's in transition. Obviously, they were missing some players, such as Pepe yesterday. But I got to say, I am a bit worried with them so far this season.
I think it's not a team in transition. I think Sergio Conceição has two teams in one. I think it's more like that. You have youth that has an idea of the game that is more positional play, and you have a strong 11 or the main or the guys that it was more linked to a counter attack team or not counter attack but more direct game, you know, very aggressive, very the duels are always very intense. You try all to get the second ball, the third ball. It's unnegotiable for the coach, and so that's because these new players have so little space in the team that now you have a little bit of Fabio Vieira. You're trying to get a little bit of Vieirinha. You have João Mário and Corona has returned. Well, I don't know what will be the outcome, but I think João Mário is now still a better option than Corona now in this time. But Corona was the choice to defend and try to get the ball forward against Liverpool. So I think the one of the main accusations to Sergio Conceição leadership is about that. Is not being able to transform a very low budget team was very aggressive, very direct, very compromised team to another one that can control the game better, having the possession, trying to get to the goal with game combinations between all the players. So I think that's the main accusation to this coach, and I think every time the team feels that they are not getting there, they are not getting to the goal, they go back to the direct play. You know, if you are 0-0 against a good team that is defending very well, the team starts to cross, the team starts to shoot from all sides. They are not trying to get there between the channels. They are not trying something. They are, even with the new players, they are so firm. How do you say? Here we have the word formatado. They are very, I don't know, formatted, or I don't know if it exists or not, but they are very strict in that. You know, if the things are not going well, they try always to get direct. That's the main idea. And even Sergio Conceição, when the team does not, it's not functionable, it's not getting there, it always goes back to the 4-4-2 and the 4-4-2 direct. I think you are trying to explain as a transitional player. I think they have a lot of mixed now in two ideas, and they are not, because the future is in with the youth, so they will, if they want to keep that youth, and the youth is very good, they need to get the idea a little bit more different or more associative in a direction of a more associative football. Well, it's again, Gil Vicente take the ball away from Porto. That was not good for Porto, you know. It was two great individual efforts that gave the goals from Taremi and the free kick from Sergio Oliveira. It was a very difficult game for Porto. And I think they are getting some difficulties right now. Yes, I think the team is getting some difficulties. They were not expected. The speech in the first weeks was was always about not getting the opponents go far in the table. You know, the idea from the Sergio Conceição as transported from last season to this season was that in the last season they were surprised by Sporting's first games and the Sporting starts that keep the team to very high position from the start, and a very large difference of points to Porto. And this time the speech was also was always about letting the opponents get far in, from the start. And Porto are not getting there. It draw against Maritimo. It had some games. If it is at 4 points, they have different nil against Moreirense. You have I remember one goal in the Porto goal in the near Porto goal. So they were, I think, three goals were in counter attack. Two goals were individual mistakes from the goalkeeper. So it was the result was very heavy for Moreirense, and it was 5-0. And a lot of people were saying, "Oh, Porto 5-0, it's a very big result." But if you look at the goals, the game was not that easy. And Moreirense suffered 5. Didn't have a lot of attempts, but they were near the area. They were trying to get there, and they were surprised in the counter attack. So I think the team is getting some difficulties in this start. It's long way to the finish line, but I think I agree with you. I think they are getting some difficulties. I think that the negotiations about the doesn't get to Sergio Conceição. We don't have the manager profile here, so the board is having the 1 year of his contract. So I think if he gets the player, he needs to put the player in and try to get the best of him, even if that means that Romário will play less games. But well, it's, I think that one idea that I was trying to pass when we all knew that Porto was keeping Sergio Oliveira, Otávio, of course, Corona. Mainly Sergio Oliveira and Corona was the main doubts in the transfer market, in the summer transfer market. We were looking at the team and we saw they cannot play at the same time. They will only play at the same time if Tony Martinez will be removed from the team, or as Sergio Conceição has made, he took off João Mário and put Corona as a right back. So I think the one idea to get all the players at the same time will pass to remove the attacking forward. I think the Tony Martinez has an important role in the team, that mainly when the team doesn't have the ball, because he's very he puts some a lot of pressure in his defense. The team pressures better with him in the field. I think it's a more the idea is more about defending well. Of course, he's competent in the finishing, but the thing gets more aggressive with him in the starting line. I think that was the main idea, why he started last game against Liverpool, to get pressure in the construction phase from the Reds. They have a lot of good players, and there were some individual mistakes that, of course, the coach was not expecting.
Porto playing with a back four of Tecatito Corona, Fabio Cardoso, and Ivar Marcano, and Zaidu Sanusi. Marcano and Cardoso filling in for the suspended Chancel Mbemba and the injured Pepe. Meanwhile, Diogo Leite is on loan and doing fairly well for Braga, putting in arguably a man-of-match performance against Santa Clara. Braga taking the lead via corner quick from Paulo Oliveira. But Santa Clara equalizing in the final minute via a superb free kick from Lincoln. Overall, I don't think that the draw should spoil what was a very promising performance in defense, playing as this time, you know, we've seen a lot of late on the left side of back three. This time playing more as the libero. I thought he was really good. Do you agree with the decision to loan Diogo Leite out with an option to buy of 12 million euros? And overall, what have you made of late in Carlos Carvalhal's defense so far?
Well, I think the option clause. I think Braga doesn't have that much money to pay for his clause, so I don't know if it's. I think Porto trusted that Braga will not have the money to, or will not be interested in paying so much for this player. I think that's the main reason, because there is an option in his contract to buy. Well, when you look at his defense, it was Fabio Cardoso's first match. So I don't know if you try to compare both, you see that Fabio Cardoso has a lot of experience. He did very well at Santa Clara. I think he's a solid defender, but I'm not sure he's Porto's level. You know, you have Mbemba at his last months of his contract with Porto too. Don't forget that. So I will try to do something different, because Diogo Leite is a very good player. Is a lot of potential. Is a very good left foot. He can. He is one of the modern defenders, as you say now. He is able to construct the game from to the left, from the left. He's good at heading too. Is in the attacking and in defense. So I don't agree with a lot of that decision. No, I think Diogo Leite also has the responsibility to grow in Braga, because I think in some matches with Porto, he did some mistakes that even he's so young, I think they left a mark, you know, they left a mark on him. So I think he needs this year to erase that mark and to prove that he can play at an highest level in the league. And of course, to take again the way back to Porto. And be, I think Porto is, I think, 38 already, if not 37, because I think they will need to renew the defense very quickly. So he is a good guy to start with. Diogo Queiroz, I also thought that he will be a good guy to get there with some games. I think the loan to didn't go that well, but he is in Spain now, and I think Porto has a buyout clause too, so he can get the player again. He has also that profile of leadership, so he can get to be one good defender too to Porto. So I think he's proving that Diogo Leite. I think he's proving that he can be that guy. He can be the guy that can lead the defensive line of Porto in the next years. I think Braga will be even stronger when David Carmo will get back from his injury, his long injury. And I think Paulo Oliveira gets that also, or defend to the mistakes that are not that good, but I think he's a ball winner. You know, a defender that wins balls, that cuts passes, and I think the defense is a little bit more stable right now. And I think Braga needed to stabilize its defense. But now that the defense is stabilized, the attack is not going anywhere. So it's very strange for me, because I was always so they lost Fran Sergio, and Fran Sergio was a big name in the team, a lot of experience. experienced. He was very important, linking the attack with the midfield with the attack. So I think that they are missing quality in the transfer market. Some guys that can take the team forward when the team are not getting there too individually, a little bit more artistic, a little bit more I think the defense is now stable. I think they need to grow fast. I don't know if Carlos Carvalhal will get there this year, but I think the pressure will get higher because this president doesn't is very he wants results even when the team has lost some good players. So I think there will be a lot of pressure to the coach if the wins don't come back very fast.
Apart from the big four, we've seen a lot of fun games this past weekend. Vizela holding Portimonense to a stalemate, putting an end to their impressive start of the season. Moreirense getting back to winning ways and defeating another newly promoted side in Arouca. But in my opinion, the most entertaining match of this entire match day was Tondela Famalicão. And what was really a relegation six-pointer, two clubs stuck in the relegation zone, and really just a complete roller coaster of match that saw Famalicão go to 10 men and start playing better and eventually take the lead, and then, of course, lose 3-2. Two very impressive late goals from new signings, Juan Manuel Buscelli and Renat Dadashov. Talk to me a little bit about Famalicão, though. I mean, currently rooted at the bottom of the league table, brought in some very promising young players, and yet looks like they're going to be in yet another relegation fight for the second straight season, unless things don't turn around quickly under Ivo Vieira. What do you think is wrong with Famalicão right now?
Sorry, I lost the last part of your question. I think the internet here is not very good.
What do you think is wrong?
Yeah, about Famalicão. Well, I think the project is about getting trying to show players more than being one of the biggest teams in Portugal. You know, I think they have lost about 20 players in the last two seasons, and they were important players. Of course, they were not all Ugartes or Tony Martinez or Pedro Gonçalves. They were not all that, but they were important players to the team. And when you are so unstable in constructing a team, even if the coach from the last games was the same, I think that he will need time. He will need a lot of time. And I think the quality has decreased, of course. You are not having... Well, if you look at the players that lived, Ugarte has not played yet a lot of time for Sporting, but Gustavo Assunção is in Turkey. Vinagre is not in the in this last game in Dortmund, but is playing at the left at Sporting. Kraev was an important player. He was getting back to his club again. Jonathan Robert made a lot of some goals that were important last season. Gil Dias is the other option from Grimaldo at Benfica. Pedro Gonçalves is an important, very important player in the league. Was the main scorer last season. Tony Martinez is in the starting 11 usually at Porto. So Well, it's a lot of pressure. Fabio Martins has left also from the not this last season, but the season before. So there are a lot of players, good players that left the team, and the team is in a well, it's behind. It's not in the same quality. I didn't say about Nuno Pérez and other players that were very important to the team. So I think they will need time. They have, added some quality to the attack, mainly in the attack. They will need Marcos Paulo. I think it's a good player. Bruno Rodrigues, I think it's a good player. Even Jaime is a fantastic player. I don't know if we'll stay a lot of time in the team. He's a very, very, in the last game, the goal is fantastic. He didn't lose his mind in any moment. He tried to put the ball where he wanted. So the goal is fantastic. So I think they have some good additions, but I think to link this all of this is, it will take some time.
Tondela, on the other hand, getting a much needed victory. And one player who I think really caught my eye in this game was Neto Borges, 25-year-old Brazilian left back who has 3 assists in his past 3 games and has quickly relegated Naufel Kassef to the bench. Tondela had a very interesting summer window, obviously losing Mario Gonzalez after his superb loan spell, bringing in some impressive young players such as like Sabrinat Dadashav, who scored the eventual winner against Famalicão, Modibo Sanyan, as well as Eduardo Quaresma, Juan Manuel Boselli, plenty of others. Mm-hmm. But I think the new signing who's impressed me the most so far is Neto Borges at left back. How impressed have you been with Neto? And talk to me a little bit about just what are your expectations for this Tondela side under Paco Ayestarán?
Well, about Neto Borges, I think they are two players, two backs, full backs. Neto Borges and also Carlos Soria from Estoril that have surprised me a lot. I think Neto Borges is a very good player. I think this game was, I see most of him in the attack. Well, trying to get the ball to the area. The first goal is very. He started with his pressure, trying to get to the middle, and he put the ball at the right time to the attacker to score Murillo. So I think he's a good player. I liked it. I think he's very. He crosses well. He knows when the right time to pass, when he should pass to where he should pass. So I think it's a very interesting player. He's experienced in Europe. He comes from Genk, from Belgium. I think he played in Armouries a few years ago too. He's fully adapt to European football. So I think it's a catch, but it's loaned. He's loaned, so I don't know if the team can keep him for a long time in the future. I think Tondela has some good additions too. It's always difficult for Tondela to not be in the fight for continuing in the first league. It will be. I think it's. I think the idea of Paco is a nice idea. He's intelligent. He tries to play eye on eye with the opponent. Sometimes he tries to be intelligent and not to expose himself a lot. In other times, I think João Pedro is a good midfielder, not fantastic, but good midfielder with experience also for playing abroad. I think Murillo is a fast forward. You talk about Neto Borges. Onda Barrena is a apparently a good six. So I think that he has some good players, but I think the fight this year will be hard for all these teams, because if you look at Famalicão is in the last position. You have Bissad or Belenenses Chad, whatever you to call them. They are in the last positions too. And Petit is also a coach that organizes the team very well. Some players arrived late. I think the very good. They had some last additions that were good, but in general, I think they would. They needed much better in some positions, but all he guarantees that he gets slowly. But I don't know. You have Santa Clara, who is Morita is one of the players of the league. I think aside from the three top teams, I think Morita is a very, very good. Lincoln is an excellent player that in the future, I think you will get to be in big teams. You have Moreirense responded from a 5-0 with a 2-1 victory. He has also a very competitive team. So the fight today is showing that will be very, very difficult.
Absolutely. And we saw four teams that hypothetically were
expected. For all these teams playing.
Absolutely. And we saw four teams that were, I think, hypothetically, four teams that were expected to be in that mix. And yet they have had varying results. Finishing off the Primeira match day, Passos Ferreira, fresh off a season that saw them finish fifth under Pepa, going up against Belenenses Chad, rooted to the bottom of the league, in the first game since Douglas Tanque's official departure. Obviously, the club's all-time leading goal scorer departing, a really huge blow for them. Passos, though, going up 2-0 via two goals from Nuno Santos and Elder Ferreira, really could have been 4-0 by the time halftime came. But Belenenses Chad managed to keep it to just a 2-0 deficit. And I think the entrances of Rafael Camacho and Pedro Nuno, two summer arrivals, from Sporting and Moreirense, proved absolutely vital for Belenenses Chad to come back and take a 2-2 draw. Talk to me a little bit about these two players, Camacho and Pedro Nuno. Do you feel like they need to be playing a bigger role under Petit if Belenenses Chad want to stay up again?
Yeah, of course. Camacho is a very explosive player. I think he didn't get that much opportunities at Sporting, but he's a very interesting player. I think they took him in a bigger account that at the moment Camacho was at Sporting. I think he'll need a time to get a little bit of more status, a little bit of more of goals, of assists. He needed to be used a little bit more from time to time, and not always in the first team. So I think in Belenenses, of course, he needed to get that time that missed at Sporting, and I think he could play a better role because he is a good guy in the one-on-one. He's a good guy. He's a fast guy. A guy that shoots well, so I think he will get more time, more playing time, of course, if needed. About Pedro Nunes, is a more of a cerebral player. I think very intelligent in the way he gets into the spaces. He finishes well, of course. He's a good player to keep the ball with him and to to control the game a little bit more. So I think they're when you look at the first 11, I see space here where they can play. It's a little bit, I don't know why Petit doesn't play in them, but I think that they have space here. Of course, they are players that are, well, Pedro Nuno has entered as substituted Afonso Sousa, who is a very good player also, good left foot, so good right foot also, of course. So he's a good player. I think Petit also needed to change his system in the game because it was two goals behind and needed to take one out of his center backs off. So, well, answering your question, I think they need some space in the team. They are good players and they will get there, I think. Petit is a very intelligent coach. I think he's a very well, he's not that coach that you go to see games because he's a very pragmatic coach, you know, but he's very organized. The teams usually defend well. The start of the league was not good, of course. He's suffering more goals than was expecting to suffer. But he also always promises that the teams will get into its goal. So the goal is to maintain the first league. I believe he can get there.
And then, of course, another Monday game to close out the match day was Estoril going up against Boavista. Two of probably the most positive revelations of the early season, ending up with a 1-1 draw. Pretty controversial from a pretty controversial penalty that allowed Boavista to take the lead via Gustavo Sauer. But overall, I think that it was quite a balanced game. But Boavista did fairly well opening up, and they could have won, but ended up conceding an equalizer via substitute Andre Franco, who made an immediate impact. Talk to me a little bit about what you've made from João Pedro Sousa's early setup at Boavista. Overall, I think there's been a lot of positive sensations. For me, I think that his in-game management against Estoril left something to be desired, but I also think that his attackers definitely let him down in terms of their finishing. What have you made of João Pedro Sousa's start to life at Boavista?
Well, I think he had some very horror start in the first game. He lost 3-0 to Gil Vicente, so it was not a good start. But he changed the system. He used from then three defenders, and the team has get some stability in the back too. Since that moment, so the team is more solid. I think they are missing some players from the last year. I think well, Albertelli is, of course, was a player that will be missed in Bessa. Yes, I agree with you with the part of the attackers of the forwards that not they were not very inspired, mainly in the tap in that game. He missed two chances when Estoril was having all the possession. Mainly the team was mainly in a counter-attack phase right then. But I don't agree. I was looking at the game and I saw the people were speaking about the game, and they were saying that Suri was getting was getting difficult in the game because, well, they mark individual in the midfield. So when Kenji Gore moved constantly from the left to the middle, the defender tried to maintain close to him, and the defense were very unbalanced. But when the team had the ball, they will always knew what to do in the match. They were always trying to get there. They didn't have a lot of chances now. No, not really. But they were trying to get there. They were always putting pressure in the Boavista defense. And it didn't surprise me that the 1-0 passed in the second half to 1-1. And I think they have a little bit of more faith in the last minutes, because Boavista was reduced to 10 men and reduced to 9 men, but the guy get back. I think if they get some more faith in the last minutes, they could win the match. They could have won the match, because I think the team is very well worked. They always know what to do. They always try to get from the back. The starting point is very clean. Of course, Boavista tried to congest the middle of the field, tried to not get passing lanes there, and Sturil tried to move around from the left, and they tried to escape that pressure. But of course, they tried to bypass that pressure, and they were working there. They were getting there. And I think that the 1-0 was a little bit against the way of the game, the way the game was getting. I think the substitutions were not that bad from João Pedro Sousa. I think he tried to get some speed to get some the Sturil in the counter attack. Well, they have chances. Nutep missed those chances, the biggest ones. So I don't think I see the objective. You know,
right.
Probably they didn't work as it was intended, but I see the objective. But the team that was captive of my attention was Sturil, and it's been a very well-worked team right now.
Two big revelations, absolutely. Really excited to see how Bruno Pinheiro and João Pedro Sousa take their teams forward. Without any further ado, though, we're going to wrap up today's episode with the Talent of the Week section. I am going to go with Zé Carlos, player who spent a lot of time in Portugal's smaller club, shall we say, joined Braga last year, was sent out on loan to Gil Vicente, and overall has been a very pleasant surprise at right back. Did a very good job, despite not getting the victory, did very good job to lock down Luis Diaz, arguably the best player in Portugal this season. And really strong defensively, has also proven his worth on the attacking side of the game. And we saw this a couple of weeks ago against Vizela, where he came off the bench in halftime and got himself an assist. Overall, I think a very promising player. Braga have clearly shown some struggles of trying to replace Ricardo Chicayo at the right back position. And I think that the way he's going after his loan, you know, looking at the other options right now that they have, you've got Fabiano, you've got Thiago Chicayo, I believe, on loan at Arouca. Jan Couto, of course, brought him on loan. Overall, I like him a lot as a player, and I could definitely see him getting some minutes under Carlos Carvalhal. Who is your talent of the week, Luis?
André Franco.
Very good choice. Why is that?
I have two honorable mentions. One is Lincoln, because I think he's a very interesting player for the future. I think he's a 10 in the like in the old days, very not that aggressive in defending. Reminds me a lot of that 10s of the past. You know, he needs to work a little bit of it. Of his aggressivity, but I think he will get there. And then I have another honorable mention, that is Nuno Santos from Passos de Ferreira. Well, I think he's growing. I think he was a number 10 at Benfica in the Benfica Bay, of course. And I think he is growing, and I think he will be an interesting player in the future. I think it's not about the goal. I think he scored a good goal, but it's not about that. It's seeing that he's getting minutes and getting in good plays and seeing that he's getting a little bit of my attention. mainly. But about Andre Franco, I think he's a very interesting player. I think he entered, he had impact in the game, he scored the goal. He's a very intelligent player. He has in youth, he's been at Sporting, and I think he's been loaned at Fluminense also. So he has some school. He's very intelligent. He occupies the space very well. Good shooting too. I think he has the potential to be one of the surprises of this championship.
Absolutely agree. Making a very instant impact on Monday against Boavista. I definitely think he has a chance of breaking into that pack team. A lot of quality both in midfield and attack, but I feel like Andre Franco has a very good chance of becoming a starter on the Bruno Pinheiro. Without any further ado, though, thank you so much, Luis. It was a real pleasure to have you and have your knowledge on display in the Cortelinhas. Hopefully the first of many times that you come on the podcast. Really been one of my favorite Portuguese journalists for quite some time. So thank you so much. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. And also, guys, if you haven't, make sure to check out my exclusive interview with Carlos Mané on Breaking the Lines, where we discussed his move to Kayserispor, his history at Sporting and Rio Ave. Plenty of juicy content that you can find on Breaking the Lines. But thank you so much again, Louis. Bye. It was a real pleasure.
You're welcome.
Anything else you want to say?
No, thank you very much. It's always nice to talk about football. It's the reason why I live and why I work all days. So thank you very much for the invitation, and I wish you the best.
Muito obrigado. Um beijo.